Podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top six facilities underused by Disney. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 77 of the World of Walt Podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of June 19th, 2016. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Today's podcast is sponsored by Ear to Their Travel. If you're planning a trip to any Disney destination, give Phil at Ear to Their Travel a call. Phil is a former Disney cast member, so he really knows how Disney works. He can help you plan all the details of your trip at no extra cost to you while making sure you get the best deal on your vacation. You can reach Phil at www.eartotheirtravel.com. There are hundreds of different buildings all across the Walt Disney World property, from small storage sheds backstage to huge theaters and resorts. Each plays a purpose in helping Disney put on their show every day. Many buildings are used frequently and consistently, but a few sit idle most of the time. Given the pressing crowds at Disney World, that may seem a little strange, so today we're going to take a look at the top six facilities underused by Disney. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome back a frequent guest on the podcast, Russ Reeves. Russ, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Herb. It's good to be with you again.
Thanks for coming back, and I think we have an interesting topic today about spots that really aren't used as much as we might like them to be.
Yeah, a lot of these are places that have been used in the past but aren't anymore, or maybe have never been used to the extent that they should be. So I'm looking forward to going through the list with you.
Me too. Before we get into that, I've got our warm-up question, which today is, what is your favorite moment in Test Track?
Well, it's probably the same as everybody's favorite moment in Test Track, and that's when you get outside on that loop you just go really fast around the outside part. That to me is what makes the rest of the ride worth going through. I don't like the inside part so much because of the dark and the flashing lights and the kind of jerking and stopping and starting, but I endure those parts in order to experience the rush of that outside track area. So that's my favorite part.
Yeah, I would probably vote the same, and I imagine there are a lot of people who are agreeing with you right now. So are you a fan of the new Tron-like look of Test Track, or did you prefer the previous crash dummy kind of look?
I liked the concept of the crash dummy thing, like, you know, that you were kind of, you became a crash dummy in the queue, and, you know, I thought that was fun. You know, I like this, the visuals are nice in the new one, and I definitely know, you know, sort of the reasoning behind updating it to that, but I kind of missed the old one.
Yeah, I like the visuals of the new one. I think it's eye candy. It's very stunning on the inside. I think the old one seemed to have a story that seemed to be a little more grounded or make a little more sense. I know they're trying to shift from maybe the safety or testing version to more of a design version, and I get it. That's probably a topic that resonates a little bit more today, but it just doesn't seem to fit quite as well, even though I still really like the attraction. I think the old look kind of fit a little better.
Yeah, but I mean, I'll be honest. If we're going to roll it back, let's roll it all the way back to World of Motion. That would be my preference.
Yeah. Classic Epcot there.
Yes.
All right, good. Well, enough about Test Track for today, and on to the top six facilities underused by Disney. And Russ, number one is over to you.
Okay, so we're right in the neighborhood at Test Track, so we'll just go down a few buildings to the Wonders of Life Pavilion. This large golden dome, beautiful building, really in an area of Epcot that doesn't get a lot of traffic, right there between Universe of Energy and Mission Space. It's a fascinating building. It's really visually appealing on the outside, and very spacious on the inside. It was there for a number of years as home to attractions and exhibits sponsored by the MetLife company to focus on health and wellness and fitness. Probably people who experienced the Wonders of Life Pavilion back in its heyday. Remember things like Cranium Command and Body Wars. There were a few minor attractions in there and a restaurant and things like that, all around the idea of health and wellness. These days, you're only going to get in there for special events like exhibits at the Flower and Garden Festival or the Food and Wine Festival, but I've got some ideas of what they could do with that space that I'd be willing to share with somebody who has some pull at Disney.
And, you know, if you had enough money, you could actually sponsor that, and they'd put your name on the front and let you do whatever you want, probably.
That would be good. I don't have that kind of money, but maybe one of our listeners does, and they'll be inspired by these ideas to go to Disney with them. One of the ideas that I had was, I've heard rumors, and I don't like to give a lot of credence to rumors at all in life, but you can't ignore them sometimes in Disney conversations, but there have been rumors about the idea of retheming the Imagination Pavilion to Inside Out, hugely successful movie. I hope that doesn't happen, because that would almost certainly be the end of Figment. So I think that Cranium Command, where Cranium Command used to be, would be a great place to have an Inside Out themed attraction, and you could almost kind of retell the story of Cranium Command using these characters and the scenery from Inside Out there. Then restore Figment's attraction back to its former glory and put Inside Out there where the old Cranium Command was.
Wow, that's a very interesting idea.
I think there's room there in that massive pavilion to do a lot more things around the ideas of health and fitness, which certainly seem to be more popular today than they've ever been for many Americans. And, you've got space in there that you could have food stands where you could have, kind of a permanent place for, you know, things like you see pop up temporarily at Food and Wine. And another idea that I had was with the, you know, emphasis on health and fitness, you could have some sort of attraction or exhibit there devoted to Run Disney, which has become hugely popular for the Disney company. Epcot is always an anchor point for Disney races, and you're talking about these events bring in upwards of 20,000 or more people every time they have them, and so I think a permanent place for a Run Disney kind of attraction or exhibit would be popular, and the Wonders of Life Pavilion seems like a great place to put it.
That's a great idea, and I often wonder what it is about that spot that has not been able to attract a sponsor. With all the mega insurance companies out there, with the Aetnas of the world, and like you say, all the health-based companies like Under Armour or Nike, it just seems like there should be a corporate sponsor that would be willing to take on that spot. And I'm always a little surprised that it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, and that's obviously what's needed to see something great go in there. But, there's so much space, and it's such a great facility that, we've just scratched the surface with a few ideas that I've thrown out. But I'd love to see that better used, get more traffic into that part of the park.
Yeah, me too. And speaking of health, when that is open for the Flower and Garden Festival, or maybe it's Food and Wine. I guess it's Food and Wine. They have an incredible chocolate display in the back, and you can get a little free sample of chocolate, which I think is a healthy thing to do. So it's a fun spot to visit when it is open.
Yeah. We've been in there during Flower and Garden, and they always have some interesting things on display, and they have speakers and things that come in and put on presentations, and I'm just always amazed when I walk by it or walk into it that how can a building this massive just be sitting here unused most of the time?
Yep. Yeah, and it is huge, as you say. It is a huge building.
Yeah, I think it would have a trickle-down effect, too, that if you get more people moving back into that part of the park, I think it would drive people to experience the Universe of Energy Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
That's becoming more and more of an overlooked attraction, and for some good reasons, some not so good. It needs some updating, I think. But I think it's just a part of the park that people say, well, there's nothing to do back there, so except that one thing, so we won't go back there.
Yeah, I think you're right. Good choice, number one, Wonders of Life. Okay, number two, I'm going to head over to Disney's Hollywood Studios, and a spot that does get used, but I think it often is underused. And I'm talking about the ABC Sound Studio. So way back in the day when the studios was brand new, you could go in and see the Monster Sound Show in this theater, where guests would be selected to act as Foley artists, the people who make the sound effects, and they would record things in this short that include Martin Short and Chevy Chase. And I do remember seeing that, and the thing I always walked away with was, wow, it's pretty hard to do these sound effects at exactly the right time and in a way that makes sense. So it kind of gave me an appreciation for the artists who do create sound for the movies. And after the Monster Sound Show had run its course, Disney had Sounds Dangerous with Drew Carey, which I always thought was very interesting. You would mostly sit in the dark and wear headphones, and the sounds in the headphones were really well done and included this amazing concept of stereo, where you would hear some things on one side and some things in another. But all of that closed down in 2012, and now the ABC Sound Studio Theater is used for something of a series of special events, sometimes previewing movies. Usually previewing movies. There's been a few Star Wars items in there. So it seems to have become a temporary spot and a catch-all, which is used often, but in my opinion, it's kind of an underused location.
Yeah, so with the reimagining of Hollywood Studios, what kind of thing could go on in there that would complement the new Toy Story and Star Wars lands?
This is a good question, and especially given its location. So my guess is that it's going to be pretty close to where Star Wars Land is going to be, just because it's so close to Star Tours. And that's just a guess. I don't think I've actually seen a map yet that places officially where Star Wars Land is going to begin and end. But it does seem like a very large space, which might somehow be able to tie into the Star Wars area.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting to see what goes on when those construction walls come down eventually.
Eventually, in 2023, we don't really know, but it will be fun to see when it does happen.
Yeah.
All right, that was number two, ABC Sound Studios. And number three, Russ, is back to you.
So over to me is what I think could be Disney's fifth gate in Central Florida, if only there were some fresh Imagineering going on there, and that is the ESPN Wide World of Sports. It's been open for a good while, almost 20 years, I guess, and originally as Disney's World of Sports, now ESPN Wide World of Sports, for the last 6 years or so. Primarily, folks are only going to end up over there in this massive area if they're going to an Atlanta Braves spring training game or the Run Disney Expo or some special sporting event, maybe a youth event or something like that that they're in town for. But it's really a beautiful place. When I was there recently for Run Disney Expo, it was my first time ever going to Wide World of Sports, and I was really just captivated by how beautiful the architecture and the landscaping is there, and just how vast that property is. And I can't help thinking that, you know, there could be something put in there that could drive daily traffic over there to Wide World of Sports. I had an idea that maybe it could be home to some sort of sports museum or kind of a Hall of Fame kind of thing that could feature some permanent exhibits or some visiting rotating exhibits of items that are on loan from other sports museums and halls of fame. They could maybe tie into the popularity of ESPN with having a studio where folks could come in and watch a taping of an ESPN show, maybe daily or once a week or something like that. And I think there's room there that could be devoted to some exhibits, maybe some minor attractions that would be based on sports in Disney films. You know, Disney's had some great sports-based films. Some of them have fallen out of popular awareness, but something like that could reintroduce and relaunch those films into a wider audience. you know, some things that maybe would put people into the game. So like some interactive sports-based attractions or, you know, something like that. And again, not to beat the old drum here again, but I think with the popularity of Run Disney and the fact that the expos drive people over there, some kind of permanent Run Disney exhibit or retail store there would be a great feature.
Yeah, great points. I've had one opportunity to go there. The ESPN Wide World of Sports hosted a pin event, and I was really impressed by the quality of the facility and just the size.
Yeah.
I mean, just beyond the stadiums, there are lots of buildings there that can hold lots of people that are very flexible. So I think there are a lot of opportunities to use those spaces.
Yeah, it's and you know, Walt Disney World is not going to run out of real estate anytime soon. And so, you know, if some things needed to be relocated or expanded, you know, in order to just drive more traffic over there, I think it would help distribute the crowds better across the resort and, you know, and may even drive some revenue in a new and different way over there.
Yeah, good one. All right, number three, ESPN Wide World of Sports. Number four, I'm going to go back over to Epcot and a spot that is technically part of Future World, but it's pretty easy to overlook because it's sort of tucked off to the side, and that is the old Odyssey Restaurant. So the Odyssey Restaurant opened with Epcot way back in 1982 and closed in 1994. This is another one of those spots that is open occasionally for special events. I think it can be rented out for corporate happenings. When Magic Bands were first being distributed to annual pass holders, this was the spot where they were being given away. So, or maybe it was the RFID cards, I don't remember, but there was a distribution point there. So,
I went in when I snuck in when it was that. I begged at the door to be able to take my kids in there to see that because I remembered it so well from my childhood.
Yeah.
I think it was when they went RFID cards with the annual passes.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was when they were distributing the RFID cards. And actually, when they did that, they had a very nice display in there of some Disney history and memorabilia. They had a sample stanchion where you could test out your card to make sure that when you hold it up, it would turn the Mickey green. But it's another really nice spot. It's a little bit tucked out of the way, but just one of these that's not used on a day-to-day basis. And especially with the fact that I'm sure there's still full functioning kitchens in there and that the Future World section doesn't necessarily have a huge offering when it comes to quick service restaurants. It seems like this one has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I think there's a lot of things that could be done there, either as a restaurant or as some other kind of exhibit. Like you mentioned during that period of time where they were giving out the cards, that was the reason I wanted to go in, was because they had so many of those historical Disney artifacts in there.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a great space to do things like that in. And it's an iconic building. And you know, in one sense, it's out of the way, but in another sense, it's right. I mean, I use that path to cut through from Future World to the Mexico Pavilion every time I'm there. So in a sense, it's right on sort of the main drag if you use that side path through there. So, I think it's a shame to see a building like that just sitting there unused.
Yeah, I actually do the same thing. If I'm going from the area where Test Track is over to Mexico, I'll take the path by the Odyssey Restaurant. You avoid a lot of traffic that way.
Yep, and a bathroom there that's seldom used. So,
yep.
Good place to go.
Yep, and first aid as well. Hopefully you won't need it, but it's good to know it's there.
Right, exactly.
Okay, that was number four. Number five, Russ, back to you.
Okay, so I am going to go over to Animal Kingdom, and we're going to take the train out to Rafiki's Planet Watch. Out here in this remote area of Disney's Animal Kingdom, there's a few things to see these days, but I think there could be so much more. Right now, for me, the most enjoyable part about Rafiki's Planet Watch is the train ride going out there and back. Sometimes I've heard from people who say that they got out there, you know, at the right time to see veterinarians performing procedures on animals, and that's great, but I think that's a pretty rare thing to actually catch that. It would be hard to plan for that in your itinerary. Most of the exhibits that I've seen out there, including the, what do they call, the affection section, or what it's like, the petting zoo,
yep.
They're kind of mundane. They don't top things that can be experienced at the better zoos and science centers you can find in a lot of major cities. And, you know, we're fortunate to have those things where I live, kind of right in our backyard. And so those things don't make me want to go out there if it weren't just for the fact that you could have an enjoyable train ride out and back. They've tried to drive some traffic back there, I think, recently by having some temporary exhibits, like I think they did a Zootopia and a Lion Guard exhibit out there. And there are occasionally some hard-to-find characters out there doing meet-and-greets. I know we got some nice pictures with Rafiki out there. But I think it could, that entire area, it's, you know, there's room there to do so much more and to you know, drive people out to that end of the park. One idea that I had that I think would be nice to see is, you know, like an e-ticket attraction based on any number of great Disney animal films like Lion King or Zootopia or The Jungle Book. You know, take your pick, the old one or the new one or both. You know, and there's room there that you could kind of do like you have in Dinoland with a with an e-ticket attraction that's supported by some smaller attractions. You know, you could have a some sort of a Jungle Book thrill ride with a Zootopia dark ride and some kind of a, you know, off-the-shelf spinner ride based on Lion King or something else. And so in that way, the train ride would become a part of the adventure of getting out to this, you know, land of animal-centered attractions. And make that, I think, a much more fun and interesting area to get out to.
Hmm. Great ideas. I have to agree with you right now. The best part of Rafiki's Planet Watch is the train ride back and forth. I haven't had the opportunity to hear or to see any of the veterinary procedures taking place, but I've heard about them, and I'm pretty glad that I don't have the chance to see them because I just don't think I want to see some of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not one of these people that likes to watch that kind of thing happen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people who've told me about it have said it was fascinating and they were so glad they got to see it. You know, okay. But it is a really, because I don't think it's scheduled, right? You just kind of, you may see it, you may not. And so if that's what you're hoping to see out there, the chances are more likely that you won't than that you will.
Yeah.
And so there's just really not a lot that makes me want to go back there except for just kind of taking a break in the middle of the day to enjoy the train.
Yep. That is the draw. All right, good one, Rafiki's Planet Watch. So number six, back over to me. I'm going to go back over to Epcot. I think we've been there several times now. And I am going to the World Showplace Pavilion. So some people might be scratching their heads right now and saying, what is the World Showplace Pavilion? Well, it's something that's pretty easy to overlook. It's located between Canada and the United Kingdom. It first opened way back in 1999 as part of Disney's Millennium Village and the Millennium Celebration, and actually closed in early 2001. It is a huge, very flexible space, which is often used for corporate events, for special events. It's a massive spot, and it's unfortunate that it doesn't get used more because it's in a great location too. And I think like a lot of the items on our list, I know that Disney uses some of these places some of the time, and they need that extra capacity. You need, because if you used everything 100% all the time, then what would you do during Christmas week, or what would you do when a corporation wanted to rent out a spot? So I get that. It just seems though that some of these maybe could be used a little bit more so that the everyday guest would have an opportunity to use them. And World Showplace Pavilion is such a huge and well-located spot. It would be nice to see it open to the general public a little more than it is.
Yeah, you know, when you first mentioned it to me, I was scratching my head. But once you described where it was located and kind of what it looked like, I remembered, you know, having seen it. There's a gate there, I think, but you can see the top of the building over top of the gate, and you get an idea of just how large a place that is. And yeah, you've got to think that there's plenty of opportunity there to do something spectacular.
Yeah. Yep. And you're right. There's often a gate that's closed in front of it, so it's very easy to overlook. And because it is such a big facility, I would think that maybe they could use part of it that's up closer towards the entrance and still have plenty of room in the back. But World Showplace Pavilion was used for the Millennium Celebration, but not so much anymore. At least
what
not for public events.
Do you know what was in it during the Millennium Celebration?
I believe they had some displays from various countries. I think it was a celebration of cultures, if I remember right.
Is that what they called the Millennium Village?
Yes, that's it. Exactly, yep.
Okay. Yeah. So so you had some little exhibits in there from countries that are not represented in World Showcase.
Yeah.
And, yeah, wouldn't that be a great use of it?
Yeah. Like, if you're not big enough to be Canada or the United Kingdom, we'll put you here, and you can get a little booth. So I think that would be fun.
Yeah, and they could even do it sort of on a rotating basis. If you had, like, say, you know, six spots in there, you know, every couple of years or something like that, you know, you could have six new experiences in there.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, good list, Russ. So today we got through the list of the top six facilities underused by Disney. Number one, Wonders of Life. Number two, ABC Sound Studio. Number three, the ESPN Wide World of Sports. Number four, Odyssey Restaurant. Number five, Rafiki's Planet Watch. And number six, World Showplace Pavilion. All right, Russ, thanks so much for joining me today. This was a fun conversation.
Thank you. It really was. It's fun to just kind of pretend like you're an Imagineer and dream about what some of these spaces could be.
I agree. All right, thanks. Today we head out to the entrance music from Epcot, and while we have made it through the list of the top six facilities underused by Disney, our conversation isn't over. I'd like to hear what you think. You can visit our show notes page at worldofwalt.com/77 and add your comments. That page works great on tablets, smartphones, and desktops. Leave your comment in the comments section and check out what other people think as well. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch with me, and I'd like to invite you to get in touch with me, too. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/worldofwalt. If you enjoyed today's podcast, it would be great if you would spread the word. Tell your family and your friends about it. To wrap up for today, I would like to give you a heartfelt thank you for spending some of your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can find great Disney articles and chat with other folks in the forums and in the comment sections. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is very cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
Just a dream away. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great big tomorrow, just a dream away.